All right, Wrestling with Theology fans, we are back digging deeper into the book of Revelation. I am Pastor Doug Minton here to guide you through these mysterious passages of scripture a little bit at a time so that we may dig into some of these things and where they come from, why they're here, and what importance it has for you and me today. This week, we're going to look at Revelation chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. Again, a few of these times are going to be rather short, but I don't want to overload anybody, including myself, in getting through these things and trying to do it as quickly as possible. But I'm also trying not to drag my feet so that it just goes on forever. So we have this week, chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation and the kingdom and the patient endurance that are in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos on account of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet saying, write what you see in a book and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea. So far our text this morning. I, John, your brother and partner in the tribulation. Those who come from a premillennial dispensational viewpoint of the book of Revelation, that all of this is being done in the future, that the tribulation is not yet here. It's calling John, and by extension, the Holy Spirit, a liar, because John says, I am a partner in the tribulation and in the kingdom and in the patient endurance that are in Jesus. He's on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and for John's testimony to it. He is there because he has preached the gospel and people have not wanted to hear it, finally leading him to this exile on this island that is nothing more than a major mining operation at an old age. And we see John here easily in his 70s, if not 80s or 90s, when all of this is happening, when he receives the revelation. And he's not the only one of the apostles who says that they are part of the tribulation. Peter says in 1 Peter 4, 12 and 13, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings, so that you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. Peter says, do not consider it something strange when the trials and tribulations come upon you, when the world turns against you. Peter says, because it has done it to all of us. John will say, it has done it to all of us. And you and I can say with certainty that the world has turned against us as well. Anyone who bears the name of Christ, anyone who witnesses to the love of Christ, that is anathema to the world. That is what is has been the first thing to be canceled. We think cancel culture is a new 21st century. I mean, even post-COVID. But no, cancel culture has always been there. Cancel culture has always been that sinking voice asking, did God really say? And of course, expecting a no answer. God did not really say that, when he in fact has. So as we look at this, we see he is on the island of Patmos. Patmos is an island about 40 miles southwest of the city of Miletus. It's in the Aegean Sea, and really it is not much more than just an old mining operation at this point. There is not much to be said about this island. But the Venerable Bede, in his writing on the Revelation, writes this. History notes that John had been banished to this island by the Emperor Domitian on account of the gospel, and that then he was appropriately allowed to penetrate the secrets of heaven while at the same time prohibited from leaving a small space of the earth. Bede points out what is oftentimes the irony of the Bible. John is confined to this one little bitty island in the Aegean Sea. But while he's there, what happens? He has all of heaven opened up to him, as we will see in chapters 4 and 5 and other times throughout the book of Revelation. John is physically in his body, confined to a certain small space. But in the spirit, he is given the opportunity to delve even the depths of heaven, to see the very throne of God. This is of great importance. This is what we need to see when we look at Revelation. This is the awe we need to have as we come to this book. That this book, we may be confined to a certain place, whether it is your house or your office, or wherever you are listening to this. It might be in a chair. It might be while you are out walking. We have a confined space that our lives are kept in, and it's orderly that way. But through this book, like John, we get to peer into the secrets of heaven. We don't get to see it ourselves, but we get to see what John was able to come up with as a description for these things. That is why the imagery is so weird in the book of Revelation, because John is trying to come up with something that comes even close to what he is seeing. And there is nothing in this world anywhere remotely close to what it is that he truly sees. But he tries to give it to us anyway. As he says, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. In the Didache, it is written in chapter 14, come together each Lord's day to break bread and give thanks. Confess before each other your transgressions. Your offering should be clean. So as we have here, we have the encouragement to come together on the Lord's day, the first day of the week, the day where we come to celebrate the resurrection of our Lord from the dead, the opening of the gates of heaven for you and for I. And when we come together, we break bread. We give thanks. We confess our sins. All of it is an offering of praise and thanksgiving to our God. But John can't do that. He's not able to be able to break bread, to have communion with those around him. He's not necessarily able to confess to others. We don't know if there are any other Christians there. There may be all Christians that are there. We don't know. We simply know that John's there. He can't do this. So he is in the spirit. Ignatius writes to the church in Magnesia in chapter 9 of that epistle. If then those who walked in the ancient practices attained to the newness of hope, no longer celebrating Sabbaths, but living according to the Lord's day, on which our life also arose through him and through his death, which some deny, a mystery whereby we receive faith, and through which we patiently endure, so that we may be found to be disciples of Jesus Christ, our only teacher. Ignatius, from maybe 20 years, probably even less than that, from after the time of Revelation, writing again to knowing the people who have been through the Jewish laws, have been raised Jews, but have come to be Christians, and have broken off the celebrating of the Sabbaths to celebrate the Lord's Day, because that is where our life is. Our life begins on the Lord's Day, because that is where our eternal life has been guaranteed. And I wonder if John had Isaiah 30, verse 21 in his mind as he's in this moment. And your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. That word saying, this is the way. What is the way that John is given? Write what you will see in a book. Send it to the seven churches that are in Asia, to Ephesus and to Smyrna and to Pergamum and to Thyatira and to Sardis and to Philadelphia and to Laodicea, laying them out as the letters will be written to them, laying them out in a circle in the manner in which they line up on the map. But also Ephesus may be listed for a number of reasons. It may be that it is the mother church of all of the other churches. It may be that Ephesus is first because it is the most major city out of the seven. Or it may simply be that Ephesus is first because that's where John had been. He had been the bishop or archbishop, whatever term you want to use from today's terminology. If tradition is true that John was kind of over the province of Asia as the last remaining apostle and kind of the overseer of all of the overseers, any of these reasons could be why Ephesus is first. But in any case, the way that John is given is to write all these things in a book and send it to these churches. And these churches kept it and circulated it around so that it continues to be read today, 1900 plus years after they received their copies. We are still looking at it today. We are still finding the great comfort and blessings that are there because we hear the voice. Not saying for us to write things, not saying for us to have new revelations apart from the Bible, but to hear this is the way. Because Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And it is by following the way that we come to know Christ and to know the Father. And by knowing those things, we are strengthened to wrestle through the tribulations that we have, the fiery trials that are among us today, wrestling with all the false theologies that are out there, so that we might truly see the blessing of God. That's it for this week. This is Pastor Doug Minton thanking you for digging deeper into Revelation with me today. Again, we are going through slowly but surely, bringing us the Word of God so in bite-sized pieces so that we can truly understand what God is saying in each and every one of the passages, so that we may be properly strengthened to wrestle with the theology around us. Amen.